Grace and peace to you who have hope through the Father. Today this sermon is really geared for fathers and from there for men in general. So what do you do tonight if you're a female or you're single? All the gospel here that is for fathers and for men, I could apply to any one of you. So do your best to appropriate it for yourself. But then also, as I preach to the fathers and preach to the men, see how to encourage them. See where you can lead them back to a place like this. And then I'll, towards the end of the sermon, I'll address the women to try and fight against the temptation that there is to motivate men in a negative way with negative means. And so I will reserve that for you guys. Dear men, dear fathers, what's your hope? What do you want to be remembered for? Is it your work ethic, your prowess as a man, your generosity, your determination, your grit? What's your hope? What do you want to be remembered for? Tonight, I really want to delve into just that. And I want us to see what happens if we stand on those things. Those things in and of themselves are not bad things. But any good thing becomes a bad thing when you start standing on it for your identity. Next, what is our Father's hope, our Father in heaven? What is his hope for us as fathers? This big thing he has asked us to do, I'll focus, there's many things he's asked us to do, let me just focus on one this evening, is to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How are we going to do that? First off, what do women want? Rather, what do they need? They need to be loved. God has built and designed women to be loved. That's why he commands us in the first place to love them and to love them to the nth degree as Christ loved us. And so we can come to this task and say, God, how are we going to accomplish this? The only way to do that is for us to see the love that God has for us. Not only Jesus loving us on the cross, but the Father loving us and the Holy Spirit loving us, the entire triune God loving us. And if we don't see that, if we don't appropriate it and take that in deep, it's going to be nearly impossible. You know the men who are the most hurt, who hurt the most, are those who did not have a good relationship with their parents, specifically their father. And you know the hardest parts in life for a man? It's when they disappoint their father. Or when it finally hits them that their father is ashamed of them. There are men, maybe you know them, who spend their whole lives trying to get the approval of their father, and they never get it. That, dear fathers, is what I want to make sure isn't happening to you with your father, with your God, with your advocate, with your Savior. And so to do that, I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 5. We get to verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is, peace. Makes me think back to our first reading where we get this blessing. And what's the last word of that blessing? And give you peace. Did you notice that whenever I say the blessing, I hold out a little bit until I say the last word? Because that's what we're all after. That's why we come back week after week, to hear those words of blessing and to know we're at peace with God. You see, we all want peace in life. Yeah, peace at home, that is something. And peace at work, that is something. Peace in the world, that is something. But peace with God? It's what we need. It's what makes us tick. If we don't have it, we don't have anything. And so here is Paul encouraging people. He says, this is how salvation works. And now here's what you got because you have salvation. You have peace with God. And you run through all those things that this peace encompasses and that blessing. You've got blessing. You've got kindness. You've got favor. You've got his face shining upon you. And so I want you to see the picture. What is your mental image of God the Father? There he is with his hand on your shoulder. What's his face look like? It's beaming. It's proud of you. And you go and you look back and you look at yesterday and you look at last week and you look at last year and then you look at 10 years and you think of all those responsibilities of being a father, of being a man. And all the times you let him down. But is he ashamed? Is he ashamed of you? No. No. Not only do you have peace with him, his face is shining on you. It's hard for us to believe sometimes, and Paul knows we've got this propensity for that, and so that's why he goes into verse 2. And he says, through him, that's talking about Jesus, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice confidently on the basis of our hope for the glory of God. Dear men, where do you stand? You stand in the grace of God. Okay. Well, there you are at work. Ever feel like a failure at work? You come home. Maybe you really haven't failed, but maybe someone at work thinks you failed. And it's hard for you, and you hang your head, and what do you see as you look down? You see where you stand. you see where you stand in the grace of God. Well, then you get home. And maybe you feel like you failed at home. Maybe the wife's given it to you. Maybe your children have gone ways that you wish they wouldn't have. And there you are hanging your head again. And what do you see as you look at your feet? Where you stand in the grace of God. And it baffles us. It baffles us how God could be this gracious to us when we failed so often. And then there are his daughters that we have married. I remember the first little marital spat Monica and I had is over an air conditioner. And is what window are we going to put it in? And it was a no-brainer to me. You put it in your bedroom because the worst thing is being hot when you're trying to sleep. Come to find out, she likes being a little bit sweaty in the morning. And it blew my mind. And it was a sticking point for me. I said, no, it's got to be in the bedroom. And so part of me thought, well, why can't she just submit? And then after a while, I thought, why couldn't I just treat her like Christ loved the church? Did a lot more than give up being hot or cold. And so there we are, dear men. And we go into this and we say, I cannot believe that I would have peace with God. I can't believe that I would stand in this grace, that he would still speak this blessing over me and mean it. How long has he spoken this blessing over us? 3,400 years. You would think, given the church's the church's performance and your own personal performance, that God would have taken that back. When they refused to go into the promised land when they were supposed to, when they grumbled when they're in the wilderness, when they didn't take out all the enemies when they were supposed to, when they married and started worshiping false gods, you think he would have just, whoop. And now here we are today. And you know what's more offensive to him? The fact that we would doubt his grace. You see who he is for us this day. He's like that proud grandparent. You know the ones I'm talking about. That, oh, how are you doing? And they've got a fold-out wallet of all their grandkids, and if you're willing to listen, they'll go through all of them. And they're proud of every single one. That's your Father. That's your God. It allows you to rejoice confidently. Not only when things are going well, but when things are not going well. We get to verse 3. Not only this, but we also rejoice confidently in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces patient endurance, and patient endurance produces tested character, and tested character produces hope. And hope will not put us to shame. What are the workouts that have been the most fruitful? Well, it's the hard ones. So, dear men, dear fathers, expect God to work you out. Expect him to push you. See what he's doing as he does. He's making perseverance and tested character, and ultimately, he's pushing you into hope. I think of farming. There are lots of ups and downs in farming, aren't there? There's the weather. There's the economy. There's the equipment. There's the pests. Maybe there's finding people to work. You got to have a lot of perseverance. It's going to test your character. I want you to take that and translate that into God. He's given you this peace, this blessing. He's taken your feet and he's planted them in the gospel. He's given you this gospel grit. When you look down after you failed and you say, how am I going to stand up another time to try and be Christ to my wife for the 1,000th time? Will you come to a place like this and you see that your feet are embedded in this granite of the gospel? Pressures at work come. Pressures from home life come. Pressures from within press us down. But we are not crushed. You stand in this grace, and it allows you to rejoice confidently as you go and take on this task that otherwise we would say, God, it's a fool's errand. I can't be Christ. And Christ says, in me, you can have all the confidence in the world. And then when we fail, we fall back into this repentance that leads us back to this grace on the cross. So, dear fathers, I want you to examine your life. Don't examine it in guilt and shame. Examine it in the peace you have with God. Examine it in the grace in which you now stand. That's what's going to motivate you. That's what's going to give you this drive. That's what's going to give you this gospel grit. You can be like the grittiest farmer who can make it through the Great Depression. Not on your own strength, not on your own work ethic, not on your own cleverness, but on the gospel. Dear women, I don't know what it's like for you guys. The temptation, and I know you felt it, is to motivate us negatively. You think the only way to get through to us is to up the ante and to give it to us. Because there we are doing foolish things like weekend after weekend, we're out with the buddies. And there you are with the family doing everything with the kids, and we hardly give you the time of day. And so you turn it up, at least you're tempted to turn it up. And you know what kills a man? You know what absolutely shuts him down? Is if you disrespect him. Us men, we put on this good front, like it doesn't affect us, but it's called stomaching it. Men are good at stomaching their emotions. And it's what leads to things like Parkinson's and heart failure and things like this. We don't deal with our emotions, and that's another thing. It affects us when you come at us. It hurts us deeply. What would be better? Paul also writes in that same chapter, he says, women, you should be gentle and submissive. Word submissive really gets quite a bit of women. And we could do a whole sermon on that. I won't go into it now of the beauty of that, but what is American culture telling you women right now? The exact opposite of that. Don't be quiet. That's what weak women do. What if you're quiet and submissive and your husband never turns around? What if he never seems to notice you or to love you like Christ loved the church? Your father notices. You don't think he sees that? You don't think he cares? It is a hard thing to love your husband. It is in that gentle winsomeness that you can tell your husband how his words and actions make you feel, and how you hope and wish and dream that he would treat you. In the end, if it doesn't work, you can always come and talk to your pastor. Sometimes it takes a man talking to a man for us men to finally see what our words and actions are doing to get it. Finally, dear women, when you see your husband or men struggling, and you think it's because they don't love, most of the time it's because they're dealing with guilt and shame. And so they need words like we're speaking tonight. They need to know they have peace with God. They need to know where they stand. So dear women, lead the men in your life back. So finally, dear men, the Holy Spirit comes, and he is the one who convinces us of these truths. He is the one that changes us. And where should we go if we want to be blessed? We come here. We stay in his word at home. We come and we take the Lord's Supper. And little by little, the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, and he will give us the ability to rejoice confidently, even in tasks that seem impossible. So, dear men, be baffled. Go to your baptism. Believe. And know that at the end of the service, when that blessing is said, it's for you. That's the Father's hope for you. Amen.